On today's episode, I'll introduce you to my friend, Erandini Suchil Moronj. She is a proud carrier of a Mexican flag, and I'd like to describe her in following words. She is a mother who is caring, loving, and at the same time protective like lioness. She's a woman who's determined, always knowing what she's going for, strong of her values, and as a friend, she's always standing up for her friends, her people. For today's episode, we sat at Erandini's cozy home, and occasionally sipping water, we talked and talked and talked like only two friends can talk for hours. We talked about the importance of not losing yourself when having a baby. We talked about partnerships that we built for a lifetime. And as employees of a corporate companies, we have a look at how to set healthy boundaries and right priorities between work and family. And just listen how Eri talks about her parents. It's so inspirational and so, so beautiful. This is a Non-Cool People podcast, and I'm your host, Kat. What are you the most proud of yourself as a human being till this point in your life?
Okay, that's a simple one, I think. Balam. And yeah, I think it's around him, you know, being able to nurture him. It's, if I think about the biggest accomplishment in life, I was not sure what I wanted to pursue in life, but I knew since I was young that I wanted to be a mom and then married and have kids and these things. And then along the lines and along the life, even marriage was like, it's good to have, but it's not a must. But I always wanted to have someone that I could take care of and to give all this pure love to. And I think that's it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else more important or more, nothing that could make me more proud.
Mm-hmm. It's a very beautiful answer. And now I want to build on it. How it builds you as a human. Because we change our roles in life, right? We are employees. We are maybe, I don't know, leaders somewhere. And then we become moms. And this role is changing us tremendously. So what new characteristics it brought to you? And how would you describe yourself as a mom? And as a woman?
Uh-huh. Well, the first one was I doubted myself from day one. It was the strongest. My dad said it in a very beautiful way, like he always talks. He said, you realize that you are not qualified for the job. It doesn't matter how much I read, how much I prepared, you know, psychologically and emotionally for it. When I have him in my hands, I was petrified. And for me, it was very strong to feel so, to doubt myself so much. And then I remember reading Mother Instinct, Wake Up, and it was not waking up. It was made of. So for me, it was a very vulnerable process because I doubted myself and I don't remember doubting myself so much in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I think when you get to that point that you doubt yourself, it's because you're making a breakthrough in your life. You can either fail badly or you can excel. I see it always, this drastic. And sometimes I'm just my way of thinking. And I think that I built on it. And what changed me was I kind of understood a lot what my parents have done for us. And I valued everything that they did. And I think the biggest thing for me is that I understood how extraordinary they are, mm-hmm. how demanding this can be for a woman, for a father as well, for a guy. But if you give the best to it, there's nothing that could be make you feel more fulfilled. That's how I would say it.
Yeah. You still haven't told me about you. You explained the first feeling of when you hold Balaam. Then you see how much your parents have done for you. So who are you now?
Oh, okay. I think I built my own version inspired by my parents, based with on a lot of new information. Especially, I'm very much inclined to him having an emotional companion. You know, for me, mm-hmm. parenting is about a lot of emotions. It's easy to take care of the kid, it's easier to take care of the kid, feed, provide a home. These things are easy if you think about how vulnerable their brain is and how important for them are things you say. They will remain in their brains forever. Mm-hmm. So for me, and I lose myself in this topic, and I know you ask about how I probably created a mix. I want to go back again to an inspiration of my parents, a lot of reading, and definitely having an approach for emotional development, like shielding my kid, mm-hmm. you know? And it's not that I had a bad childhood. No, I don't. But I would like, my parents taught me to make the best out of the information you have. So I decided to be, I'm going to take from them the inspiration of how they did things, and then try to put a little bit of what I know, and that's the mom that I want to be, mm-hmm. you know? And along the way, kind of also built back myself so he can see me that I'm not only a mom, but I also care about myself, and I also work. I also keep this difficult harmony and work balance. So that's I think that's the closest one answer I can give you. Mm-hmm.
It's a very powerful what you've just said, because we have such a strong influence on the kids that we are raising, and it's really big responsibility to choose how we do it, mm-hmm. because it can be easy, right? I mean, easier if you do certain things different. Then when you need to dive in, learn, and really make out of every stage of the age the best out of it. Mm-hmm. And it might be very hard to juggle these balls.
I think it is.
Especially when you are a working mom. And, you know, when you said that you were doubting yourself the most when he was born, and I think many moms can feel it, but for me, you always are the strong one who knows at every stage what you have to do. Because before Balaam, I knew you before Balaam for quite a long time, and you are this free spirit, very strong, determined to what you need to do, what you want to do. And also, I want to talk to you today about this. You're a bit of your previous life, because you were in a position of a leadership and you were driving big projects and you were in a very serious role, mm-hmm. and growing very fast. And then for me, so admirable how, but now it makes sense when you answered the first question, because your priority was always to be a mom. You wanted always to be a mom, and you really live it, because now you are learning or relearning to find this. I don't know if balance is the word, because we are never in this perfect balance.
And it's never going to be a balance. Yeah. But a priority is always going to be my kids. But my kid now.
And now, it's very tempting, I think. I see many women who are like this. I don't know if it's career-driven, but very important for them is the work. Which is fine. It's not a judgmental statement.
No.
It's just an observation and conversation, because I admire the strength of a woman who can go work and raise a kid. Because it looks easy. Like, okay, she goes to the office, then kid is I don't know how old, and then, you know, she just is a mom. But I can see, and a few times I saw it in you, that you want to be present and you want to be 100% and the best, and then you also want to be there and to do your work. So how do you find this, I will use word balance, to first of all to stay in peace with yourself, because we always feel guilty mm-hmm. about something.
Oh yeah,
right? And then how do you create these priorities, because you're still evolving in this area of motherhood plus working. So how does it work for you?
I think I had to re-engineer myself. And that's why I said, and I want to kind of highlight that, because maybe someone will feel accompanied if I say it multiple times. When he was born, and I remember my husband, right, Jakub, telling me, like, but what's wrong? You know, you're made for this. And even his comment, which didn't mean anything wrong, but I felt it so strongly, like, that's right, I cannot do this. I cannot perform as a mom. So for me, I had to really re-engineer myself. So you said it, and it resonated with me. I am very determined. In what I want, I always say, okay, I have to break it, and I have to say, if I want to be the best mom I want to be, how am I going to put that into specifics? Okay, I'm going to focus in his nutrition. He's going to have the best freaking nutrition. I'm going to get schooled on that, best education. I'm going to find the best option for him. I'm going to invest in it. I don't care. He's going to get the best. And then emotional maturity. I'm going to read about it. I'm going to make sure I raise him with those bases. So then, okay, that part, now that when he was a little bit beyond 1 year and his allergies got better, because we had a rough time with him reacting to the environment, I felt like maybe I could go back to work. Then, like you said, full of guilt, I spoke to my previous boss and I said, you know what? No, I can't. I'm not ready. I don't feel like it. The biggest, strongest thing was like, I want to be with him still. Mm-hmm. So it took me longer. It took almost a full 2 years for me to... And maybe if my boss at Amazon wouldn't have said, hey, we gotta take you now, otherwise this very interesting role that I thought you for might not be open. Maybe if they wouldn't have knocked at my door, maybe I would have stayed even longer. Because it's normal. I love to be with him. Nothing makes me happier. You know? But so then, and I told it, today, and whoever I speak to in serious terms of creating a partnership in terms of a job, and I will always say it, because I think it's wrong if you wouldn't, like, he's gonna be my priority. Always. This is why for me it's not a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Life is always first, and if it's not first, something is wrong, because you have to have a life. I experienced it in other companies. You are a resource. So in the last moment, when it's about keeping costs or just maintaining health of the company, you might be let go. And it's normal. We cannot take it personal. Mm-hmm. It's a company. It's a business partnership. But my partnership with my kid, it's beyond anything. So of course that has to be a priority. And I'm just very open about saying, you know, the day has 24 hours, so I will organize, and this determination comes in. I will organize my day in a way that, okay, if I don't have a lot of meetings and I can reshuffle work around other hours, late hours, I will. I will always make the best out of the time that I have with my son. If it's a sunny day and I don't have calls, I go out. We play. Then when he's asleep, my husband calls it on me all the time, like, it's 4 a.m. in the morning, he goes to pee, and I'm working there. You're working? Yes, I'm working, because if I can make the decision and say, do I stay with him 2 or 3 hours out and work later, or do I work now and then I play with him later? I will always pick what's the best for him, you know? And I think every company, unless it's a matter of critical corporate life or death, but I think you can manage. Mm-hmm. And that's my way of managing. I'm not saying it's the best way, but that's my way so far.
And it's also important that the employee gives you this flexibility, right?
Yes.
But first of all, you have to set up this criteria for you, this standard. This is how I'm going to work. And I think for many people, it's like, yeah, but how can I do this? Because leave it or take it, it's not for me because I have to have this work. You still can find a way, right?
I think, in a way. You know, yes. And I think there's always this little, and I'm working on at least bringing awareness. That's why I'm building this group in Amazon. Because it's about humanizing how many people, and if you think about society and criminals out there, what's more important down to the bone? What's more important? To be at a corporate office or to make good human beings? Mm. If you think about it from that, we are all responsible from having a better society. So I think everyone who works should embrace the fact that you are nurturing someone. That has to be put on top of things. I mean, I'm not trying to say we should be treated differently, you know, we should work less. No, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, never. I think that there are always alternatives to work, but we have to humanize the fact, and it shouldn't be this shame thing to say, like, you know what, my daughter is sick, my son is sick, I'll be back and forth today because I need to take care of that. I feel that there's this huge guilt in saying it, and I'm trying to change that, like starting to change it in myself, but I'm trying to do this as a movement. We need to humanize that. And maybe it's not only a daughter, a son, maybe it's an elder, maybe it's a grandparent taking care of a grandson. And these things matter. These things are important. You know, we shouldn't feel guilty. You know, it's more complex. I've always thought it's more complex to be successful in your career as a solo. You were speaking about me before. That was easier. Mm-hmm. Now it's hard to have the same level of responsibility with being present at home. That's complicated. For mm-hmm. me, tell me about someone that you admire and it's rocking it at a corporate life. Now let's have a look at the family, at the personal side. If he doesn't have a personal side, oh, okay. First, I'm done. You know, I'm not necessarily gonna follow that person, or I'm not inspired by them. But if they have a corporate strong presence and they have a family where he or she is present, he has or she has hobbies, spends time with friends, family, connections, sports, that for me, it's complicated. How do you actually manage both? That's complicated. Mm-hmm. If you are single and rocking it, good for you. I applaud you, but it's not the same. Never will be.
No, so it's incomparable. Mm-hmm. And what you said now is so important, because once this successful person at work, wherever, corporate or startup, wherever they work, comes home and is able to step out of that role and enter in the slippers of role of the mom, dad, mm-hmm. grandmother, whoever, and totally flip themselves and be present here, I see it often. It's so hard for people to do, right? And this is very fragile. Mm-hmm. Fragile ice to walk on. So where to start?
Where to start of how to keep a balance, or?
Let's say, okay, somebody's thinking, okay, I really want to be a great mom, but I also am having such a big responsibilities at work, and it's just so hard for me to turn off, and you know. But I think you already answered this question.
I think bring awareness.
Bring awareness, and by prioritizing mm-hmm. your important things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And bring awareness not only to... We're talking now about parents.
No, but also you. Like, sorry to interrupt you there, but it's not only bringing awareness to where you work, but also you have to be self-aware. Like, if you make compromises, okay, today it's a very important meeting. It's going to take place at dinner time. For me, dinner time is untouchable because I sit and I eat. What can I do? Okay, am I going to be required to speak? Do I need to be isolated from my family? Maybe not. Maybe I can listen to that call. Okay, so maybe I make a compromise. Today, I will take the call. I will try to make it invisible. I will be wearing just here and I'll try to be present. And in case of something, I will interrupt myself, go away and answer questions. maybe just doing these small compromises. I did it today, but it's an exception. You know, you have to kind of remind yourself it's an exception. What's more important? And try to keep a equilibrium. Yeah. Keep an equilibrium and say what's important and remind yourself. So what is more important today? Do I take that call? It's also very well to say, you know what? It's in family hours. I actually block my calendar now, family hours, you know, and feel free to actually, like if I'm speaking to what I would recommend, feel free and block your time and say it openly. This is outside of my office hours. I have a family to look after.
Mm.
I will listen to the recording or catch up with you tomorrow in office hours. You know, we have to be also determined on the things that we commit to. And then it doesn't mean you drop the call and don't do anything about it. You catch up later. Again, you can catch up. But going back to your initial question, and I'm sorry that I always go back and forth, but how do you prepare it? I think you have to first sit with yourself and decide which kind of a parent you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of mothering in leadership roles. You have to care. You have to genuinely interest for others. So you might already have some of those qualities, but you just need to sit and say, okay, when it comes to my family and my kid and my babe, newborn, which kind of a mom I want to be? And then that's going to give you how much time you want to dedicate to that. Are you going to be a mom that wants to also cook for your kid? Well, then that's going to require time. Are you a mom that is fine delegating that to someone? Am I going to be there the first 3 years of his life? Or am I going to be one at the, bringing the kid to kindergarten? You have to make like these pillars of decisions, life decisions, that are going to tell you what's going to be your level of effort and level of time invested. And then you got to make changes. I mean, that's the only way I personally see. You make a list and then you say, okay, from today to that period of time of having my son or girl, these are the changes I have to make. And then you make them, because otherwise it's just expecting a different result without changing anything. That's just not going to work. It's my opinion.
Yeah, I really love it. I really love that part of, but you are the one who decides and takes these changes and does it. You are the one, and making priority list and understanding, first of all, yourself, how you want to be in both roles, and then doing that. It sounds easy. It's not simple.
It's not.
Yeah, but it's possible, right?
Yes, and the most important thing is that if you are the one doing it, you are in control. You will never resent. You know, you will never resent your son or your daughter. You're never going to resent your employer. You're never going to resent your partner, because ideally you make this as a conversation with your partner. And then it might not work perfectly, but at least you agreed to it. So,
and you're building, we talked yesterday about this, that you are still finding the ways and rebuilding your day and how you want to do things. It's a work in progress all the time, right? So it's never like, okay, I'm now having a kid, I'm going to work, and it's going to work like that.
No.
It's much more complex. But it's also important to bring this awareness to people who are working with parents, for them to understand. I remember when I was not a parent, I mean, when I worked, we had a group that you are creating, similar that you are creating in Amazon, for parents, supporting parents. And in my company, we really care about parents, like supporting them and bringing this understanding that, okay, it's okay if they need to go, you know, for caring for kids. And when I came there, it was already kind of infiltered in us, and it was like, okay, they have to go. But there were sometimes situations when non-parents would be like, yeah, but you know, are they using this now as an excuse?
Misuse
it, you know? But that's, again, it's not to judge or analyze anyone.
It's a matter of performance.
Exactly.
At the end. Because this can happen now with home office and COVID, this can happen to anybody. Because now the way we worked got a tremendous slap, you know? When COVID kicked in, everybody became a working parent. You know, a stay-home parent working at the same time. And I think that is probably one of the best blessings that we could have gotten in terms of corporate life. I mean, beyond how terrible COVID was and moment of silence there. But, you know, it really, it was a wake-up call for everyone. And I remember a very smart employee of another big company told to one of my friends, she was back then a stay-home mom. He said, look, the field is kind of, basically, I'm translating it in my words, right? The field is it's like leveled. Everyone is on the same ship now. Mm-hmm. We are at home. We have to take care of kids. And we're, why don't you come back to work? Because she was in maternity leave. And she did. And he was right. And I think he's one of the smartest persons there because she inspired me to go back. And I was telling this to a big personality that I really admire in Amazon. And she was saying, you know what, that's right. You know, and these are the kind of things that kind of make you jump for the opportunities. Because mm-hmm. we all became so aware of what it means to work and have a family at the same time. So it shouldn't be something extraordinary. It should be something that, it's already part of our daily activities. But going back to my point, now that everyone works from home, also whoever doesn't have a family could abuse it, right? Mm-hmm. They could just play games or whatever is what you like to do, go for a long run and then not work. Everybody has that ability because we no longer work in the old times where the employee is looking at you and checking if you punch your card and at what time exactly you enter or left the office, which, by the way, didn't mean anything on how you worked. Mm-hmm. So I think there are other things more important. Performance is something that measures how we do things in spite of the time.
Yeah. And anyway, you can misuse even being in the office. You can misuse the time and you know, the trust that you have. The most important is to give this trust and to keep the trust by mm-hmm. your performance, as you've said.
Yeah, I mean, if you have results, then what can be said about you? You know, you might be working as well 4 full hours, but you don't move, you're efficient, you go to the point, you nail it. It's 4 hours, you deliver everything you are required to do. Who's going to say anything? Mm. Because maybe you can go to the office, maybe you can socialize, that's an important thing, right? Maybe you go for coffees, you go for lunch, half an hour here, half an hour there, 1 hour at the lunch, blah, 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 already 2 hours. I personally don't have that time. If I work, I work, tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. I don't have the moment to necessarily invest them in those social events. But again, just compare it. Maybe someone that socializes and does that part more and also performs takes 6 days of full specific work without the breaks. And then another person might take 5, but without the social, so social big part. So if the results are there, who cares?
Yeah, who cares how you do it? You were talking about some, like, big personality and these people who inspire you. Who are the most, or who is the most inspirational? And I will ask woman, because a woman can be a mom, who is juggling these balls of motherhood and professional life in a way that you look at her and say, wow, not necessarily I want to be like you, but I really admire you. Because you want to be yourself and mm-hmm. find your own best way.
In corporate life? Or mm-hmm. whatever?
Whatever.
I think I have many. I have the blessing to have been raised by an amazing woman. I think it makes me very emotional. My mom is probably the best.
And it's visible in you because you are very long away from each other. But your mom is always the person you call, whatever, right? And this is such a strong bond because we always, I will say, sometimes I look what imperfections my parents have. And what you taught me to do is whatever, you know, they give us the best. And of course, unconsciously, I know it. But sometimes when those difficult moments or something, I'm just like, yeah, but why couldn't maybe they do it this way? And now I'm at the maturity where I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realize everything. Because when you become a parent, as they say, you really understand your parents much better.
Yes. Yes.
And it's really beautiful that you, as a first role model, say your mom.
Yeah, she is. It's because, and I really mean it, I really believe that we are blessed with extraordinary parents. The more I grow and the more I learn about parenting, and, well, it's always also referencing others around you, right? And I really see, you know, her dream was to study medicine.
Mm-hmm.
She left her little city in Mexico and packed her bags. I think she even packed boxes, you know, because they were not doing very well. And she moves to Mexico City, to a huge city. Even today, for me, it's terrifying. And she did it because she wanted to pursue her dream. And then entering to the university was so difficult because she had some deficiencies and scholarly speaking, and she had to go through multiple classes to compensate. Nothing stopped her. She graduated. She's a doctor. She loved that practice. She loved it. I lived part of it with her because I always wanted to be with my mom, so she took me sometimes. I love that of them, that she told me, are you sure you want to come? She was at the guard in the hospital. There's going to be blood. There are going to be patients. Are you sure you want to come? Yes, I want to come with you. So I went. She took me. And I saw blood. I saw deliveries. I saw many things. But she took me. And then she explained me. And that was the most thing she loved, her practice. And then when we came in the picture, when my youngest brother came, she decided to pause. And to me, that's a huge thing to do. I know she loved her practice. I explained to you what she had to do to become a doctor. And I'm probably falling short there of all the things. She didn't have money to eat. She had to study a lot. She was living with some friends, you know. And then after all, we come to picture, and she leaves the practice like this for her family. That for me is big, you know. It's which other gesture of love you want to see. That's a big one. And then the way she cares, the way she worries until today. I'm going to be 40 next year, and she's still like, how are you eating? How you look skinny? How are you? You know, it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And now you made me think of one thing. Like, when the thought came to my mind. When you kind of drop this everything that you love for something you love even more, but then when they grow, and if you don't come back to that love that you loved to do, how is it then? Like, you know, because kids come to our life for them
temporary,
to
live. Yeah.
Temporary. I hate to hear or say it. It's a guest in our house.
Me too.
But it's true, and you cannot make them your property.
No, that would be wrong.
So it's very important to take care of yourself and to do still things you love, because once they decide to go, you still have to have those things.
Yes,
and not just,
yes,
you know, lose now and now after 16, 18, or maybe how many years, you understand, but who am I now? You know, what do I do now? This is the question I was asking in the first year of my daughter, and I'm glad that I'm figuring it out now at this point, that I want to be great, amazing mom, supportive and present, but also that I want to figure myself out parallelly. And it's super hard.
It's tricky, yeah.
But it's so important. So did your mom go back to practice?
She did, but she used to work for a hospital, for the state, if you may.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was like that. It's partially state, partially employers, doesn't matter. But she went back in like the private practice, so she could control her hours. She could, she still, because she loves it, and she does it. And that's the beautiful thing about my mom. She was paid by chickens, she was paid by bunnies, she was paid by, I don't know, kilos of corn, because they have horses and a ranch. And this is what I admire. She doesn't care. She has this genuine interest. Because, you know, you actually swear that you're going to always care for the health and these things. She really took it seriously as a doctor. She doesn't care. She has never, it hasn't been in her plan to be a millionaire, but she cares about making a difference. And she really did in the little place where we have the ranch. She introduced the importance of drinking clean water and she saved a lot of lives. And I think we are loved as an extension of a mom. Maybe not loved, maybe they love her, but we are respected. Mm-hmm. And we are like, you know, thanks to her. And I think thanks to her, I feel that we are even kind of, I don't know, special, you know, thanks to her, because she did make a difference mm-hmm. about many things. And
but also a big impact in your life and how you see life yes. and how strong of a personality you are and how you take the motherhood. It's such a big
yes,
impact.
Yes, exactly. And I tell her, because she says, no, you're so much better than me. And no, I wish I would, because I've always seen it. She cannot hide it, this beautiful, amazing characteristic of caring. I don't think I have it at her level. I care of my own. I care of my friends. I care of my people. Yes, I can care of who surrounds me, but she has this caring beyond. Mm. She's, I think it's amazing.
I think you reminded me one thing now, because you are, I'm changing the topic a bit, but you are the first Mexican who I met and created connection with. And here is a little bit, the story is a little bit about how we as a people from different countries, we can meet mm-hmm. and we can leave this impact on someone and create a prototype of the whole country. Oh, I wow. heard about Mexico. I found it very beautiful. I've heard people are friendly. But I would never on earth imagine, you know, how entering into a Mexican kind of group of people, you really feel family, you really feel loved. I can't explain, but there is like, and it's such a, so much joy there. So wherever yeah. now I feel, where I meet Mexican, it's this feeling of, oh my God, these are my people, you know, and this is so beautiful. And I think this also comes it's cultural, of course.
Yes.
But it also comes from how you are raised by your parents.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
How values of family are so, in such a priority, in the highest level, that your kids are here. They are the most valuable people, I think, in every family, in every mm-hmm. healthy culture, family. Yeah, there are cultures who are less friendly, or you don't feel so welcome,
colder maybe.
Colder and so on. But this is, it was for me, and I was thinking this morning about this, how important this impression that I as a human make for my whole country.
Yes.
I can impact that.
You carry your flag.
Exactly. Today I was thinking, wow, we really represent the whole country mm-hmm. by just meeting people.
I was so stressed by that, I remember. Because my dad, you thought of it, my dad told me. When we were about to leave, like, remember, everywhere you go, they're not going to see Erandeni, you know, they're going to see a Mexican. So I remember that I was having that in my mind. But if I can take that and say something about the Mexican family, I think the Mexican family we have here in Bratislava is amazing. I think it's coming because of the culture and also in the north. Yesterday we were talking about how it could be felt, perceived differently. South is very mm-hmm. warm, north is colder, but there is something about the cold. And my dad explained me once, you know, when you live in those very extreme conditions, you learn to also kind of work as a pack of wolves mm-hmm. and how the wolves pack work. They are together and they help each other and they keep themselves safe. And I think that's how we are, because majority of us came from the north. Some of us were blessed with having this duality. My mom is north, my dad is south, so I'm warm and touchy because of my dad, but I am caring and strongly about community because of my mom. So I think the Mexican family that is here, I was talking about this recently with someone. We have like, first of all, we had that, all that background. Mm-hmm. We came together. Mm-hmm. So we all felt the shock of being different and the shock of living in a country that is not exactly as warm in terms of people and stuff like that. So definitely we embraced it more. And we wanted to make sure that this was kept. At least that's my personal opinion. I don't know how others feel, because we're still here and it's a blessing. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm still here. But if something happens to any of us, we are there, you know? And it doesn't matter how often we meet, how often we call, we are there. And if it's about anything, even if we need to chip in, you name it, economically, with just being present, visiting someone at the hospital, we are there. It really behaves as a family. I just think it's another blessing. It's another blessing. And yes, when bringing someone, like I remember bringing you there, they take you, you know, they take you as ours, and it's really, really amazing and beautiful.
If you have people like this at the whole community, then it's just feeling so reassuring that you are fine, you're going to be fine.
Yes.
Someone has your back, you know.
Yes, exactly. That's a feeling. I can tell you that I had that feeling here. When I broke up my relationship, one of my relationships here, I remember thinking like, well, what am I going to do, you know? Because he was Slovak, and I was thinking, maybe it's time to go back. But I got entertained by that moment very little, because really my Mexican family stepped in, and you were already part of my family, and you stepped in, and very quickly I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I like it here, and I have a piece of family, and my brother came, so it was decided for me. But again, they made it easier, you know. Griselda was part of that group, and she was not so close, and she stepped up, she was there, and things like that. You imagine that it happens only in the movies when someone becomes this person, and you know, it's just. Oh no! I imagine you were there. You were not that year.
No, that year, no. I came already in an easier part of your journey.
Yeah.
I was not there in the heaviness of the breakup. What is one thing that keeps you? Not wake up at night, but
oh god!
Because I those things we are not going to talk about. But like you often talk, and I really admire your father. I had a really honor and pleasure to meet him and get to know him as a person, and how he talks to you about things, and it's so inspirational for me now as also a parent. I remember when we were in Mexico and we met him, I was writing some phrases on my phone because I thought like, wow, when I have kids, I want to do it like that. I want to teach her, tell her things like that. I want to be this kind of different. So
I told you I have extraordinary parents.
You do, yes. So one thing, and I know it's going to be difficult, because there are many of them, but one thing that you really say, I'm taking this from what my dad showed me, and it really helped me to raise above everything in my life, and I want to pass it to my kid.
Oh, I know what that is. He always said, there are no good or bad choices, there are just consequences. And immediately, and it's true, and it's my mantra, one of my mantras, and it's true, because you lose that fake entitlement, you know, that, oh my God, but I deserve that. And I didn't get it. No, you make a choice. And there are always choices. You take the decision of what you choose. And it might go in certain direction. Those are the consequences. But once you see it like that, like, it's not emotional free, but it's like entitlement, fake entitlement free, you kind of rationalize everything, and it's much better. It's like understanding that you have a power of decision and things have outcomes. So it's just like that, you know? You kind of take all the stress away, you take all the drama away, and you take these... Sometimes we even put responsibility on others, and you take that away too. You know, because if I would have thought of the decisions I've made in my life, if I would have thought of all the decisions of my life and put the responsibility on others, imagine which kind of life I would have. I had to do that because you pushed me to it.
Yeah, it's a victim's role.
Yes, it's like this fake entitlement, like you deserve more. I deserve better. No, they're just consequences of decisions you took.
I love it. And it's very mature approach of living, because putting responsibility of other people and putting ourselves in a victim role, it's easy because you get out of the responsibility blaming other people. And there is a deeper...
you don't grow.
Reasoning for that, why you do that, probably it comes from somewhere, but it's your responsibility to grow out of that, find a way to grow out of that. And if you, if I can teach my kid to even not to grow into those shoes, but already seeing this, I'm gonna do it 100%. And this is, yeah, this is, just listen to this advice and do it, everybody. But really, it's simple. Again, it sounds easy. It's
not
simple.
It sounds easy, but it's not simple. Yeah. It's not, because sometimes, I mean, there are many types of decisions you make at life. And my dad says, this is a life decision, for example, you know.
Moving
countries.
I'm going to
move there. Yes, I'm going to move there. That's going to change you. Or, I don't know, I'm going to change career, or I'm going to start a new business. It's, there are decisions everywhere. Even if someone takes the decision for you, because someone might say, ah, yeah, but what happens if somebody took the decision for you? Your reaction to that decision is something you can still control. So there's always power in you, and you can change the way you react to facts. My dad always says, it's not facts what bothers you, but what you think of facts that bothers you. And it's true. So that's something that I really want Balaam to absorb. So he's like more... he cooperates with the inevitable.
Yeah. And it's easier to live this way, I think.
Yes.
It's much easier.
It's more enjoyable. And then you can really make the best of the decisions. And then you carry that pride. Like, okay, I made the best out of that.
What's the definition of a cool person for you?
I knew you were going to ask it. And I had a different answer the other day. But yesterday I was thinking about what would be for me. I think there are a couple of things to say there. I see it as caring more about genuinely making a human connection than being popular. Being successful, but successful meaning being present where you want to be present, not really accumulating wealth, you know. What else? I think those would be like two ways of putting it. I probably forgot the other 20 criteria I was thinking, but for me, it's about that. Human connections and being wealthy, but not financially wealthy. It's limiting that word in the very minimal part of it. So being wealthy, my dad always said, we are rich. We are rich because we have each other. And that's what I want. You know, being rich like that, to have a family that feels like those people who have your back, and make an impression, but a human impression, a human connection, not have an amazing Instagram profile. No, like have really be there as a human, not plastically, you know?
And how do you carry the flag of your country whenever you go somewhere else? If you like this episode and it somehow changed your day, please let me know by sending DM on Instagram or drop me an email at unknown.cool.people@gmail.com. And I see you next episode.